I know most of you have heard, if you haven't heard, that our beloved, loved Mary went on to heaven earlier last week, and I thought today would be a good day for me to talk about Mary a little bit, brag about her. Scripturally, I can tell you that in her life, she accomplished more than most people live in 10 lifetimes, for the gospel's sake. Because when you make a choice in your life to live for God instead of for yourself, and most Christians don't understand that statement. Most American Christians understand, yeah, I live for God, but I live this life. But when you decide in your heart, my life belongs to God. See, this is who Mary was. So in my heart, in my natural man, there's sorrow, and there's a grieving of losing a close friend and someone I love. But in the spirit, there's joy and peace. And if you feel that joy and peace, don't feel guilty about it. You know, some of you are like, I don't feel a overwhelming grief. Well, there's two reasons for that. And one reason is because God's grace is on us for moving forward. And the other reason is, in God's eyes, there is no sorrow in Mary going to heaven. You know, but also because Mary loved you so much and loved us so much, someone would ask, well, why? I wish she would have told me sooner, you know, about her battle. But you learn in life that it's not how many people you get to pray for you. It's who you get to pray for you. And sometimes having too many people pray for you will bring too much advice and opinions. But also, I think Mary's heart for the body was not to discourage or hurt anyone or distract anyone. That's the reason she kept her fight private for a long time, was because she didn't want to discourage anyone from believing the truth of the Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
So in her life, I know I had a similar start where as soon as I decided, I crossed the line, say line, where you say, God, okay, my life is not my own. Okay, now that's more than my Sunday is not my own, my hour of prayer is not my own, my scripture reading time is not my own. It's when you say, God, my life, the direction of my life, the dreams that you wanted me to have come to pass, my purpose in life coming to pass, the building of my life is not in my hands. My life, my steps, my every day, my time on this earth belongs to you. See, when you cross that line, it confuses most American Christians and most Christianity that's preached today. Because remember, the flesh understands religion. The flesh completely understands, I give God something and he gives me something back. Most Christians are happy when they say, I gave God my heart, now I'm going to heaven. But giving God your heart to go to heaven is different than giving him your life.
Right.
And making him Lord over your days. And his will, not your will. And that's an example of Mary. When I crossed that line, God sent me from Alberta, Canada, about a good almost 2,000 miles all the way over to Cleveland, Tennessee. A little tiny town to a place there. And I told my mom, she still gets mad at me, when I said, Mom, I'm just leaving for 1 year, and then I want to come back. And my mom said, okay, I'll let you go for 1 year. And I promised her I'd come back because I had an offer to be a pastor in a year. And it was everything I thought I wanted, and I even agreed to it. I had to call and apologize and ask permission to get out of my word, because something changed in my heart as I went. After 1 year, I stayed 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 13 years in Cleveland, Tennessee. And my mom every year would call me and said, you said 1 year. Because if I live according to my family's motto, I'd be living next door to mama. And it wouldn't be a bad thing. My kids would have a grandma right next door. And in the natural, that would make sense, but when you follow God with your heart and your life, he has a purpose for you to change and touch the world. And I remember asking Mom about my relatives. Like, I thought, it'd be so much more prosperous for me to live next door to my family. because I could harass them and get them in church and get them serving God. And the Lord told me the answer to that prayer is on you walking in the steps that I've given to you. And that's the part of living life where you quit trying to fix it. You quit trying to make your dreams come to pass. You quit trying to make your calling come to pass. And you live in a place of, God, I want your will. Your life for me. Your time for me. Mary, I think, had a similar experience in that her heart to follow God and her willingness to give her life to God as a servant to God took her away from her family. I've talked to her many times about she loved the Penguins. That's a hockey team in Pittsburgh, and I'm a Canadian boy, so we'd always have fun, and I'm a Vancouver Canucks fan, but you know, you miss your family, you love your family, but there's something in you that trusts God with your family when you follow God. How many know what that feels like? And common sense doesn't work with obedience many times, but there's a trust beyond common sense that says, my family is in God's hands. And so when I watch people obey God to that point, to where they go beyond what is common, you know, because in most families, you get to be for every birthday, and you want to be there for every birthday, every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every celebration. You want to be there. But in the purpose of obeying God, sometimes there's a difficulty in doing that. And so there's a place where you have to trust God more for the desires of your heart to come to pass through his ability than through your ability. I was looking at Luke 12, and let's go there. This service I want to dedicate a little bit to Mary, and to not just to Mary as a person, but into the principles that she poured her life into. Because again, I believe heaven's celebrating with Mary right now, and not only is heaven celebrating, but understand that in her life, she accomplished more for the kingdom of God than most Christians could do in 12, 20 lifetimes. I know I'm getting bigger on that number because it's true. And a life dedicated to God is so much more important than a life lived for success on this earth. And Mary's a perfect example of that. And looking at Luke chapter 12, verse 22, I just want to read this. And to me, this describes Mary's choice of living. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than these birds? Now I want you to see here, this is the words of Jesus describing to his disciples how they should live for God. So somewhere in the mix, the American gospel has come in and traded that for a different lifestyle. This is a lifestyle that God wants for us. And so in this is choices every day. Do you go and fix it? Do you go and out of worry and concern about your future? Do you live a life of trying to provide? You know, and that when you're single, you can eat Weetabix or Wheaties and orange juice and live fine. But when you have kids or grandkids or that, you think differently. And I'm not talking against prosperity, but I'm talking about living your life for yourself, even for your own provision. Why am I saying this? Because this is a life that I watched Mary live, where her life was not her own. We're not talking about her going to heaven early. We're talking about her life that she lived for God. And what an example she was, and an example that any one of us should be proud to follow. Consider verse 24, the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than these birds? And which of you by worrying could add one cubit to your stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God was so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And this is how I would describe our Mary, someone who had built her life around building treasures in heaven and a money bag that does not grow. So your wallet's going to disappear. But there's a place where you can store your rewards and your money that will never grow old, never be corrupt, and that's a place in heaven. And that only comes when you live a life not in offering God something. There's so much in American Christianity that says the kingdom of God, he wants to give me his kingdom now. No, he's looking for someone willing to lay their life down now, and he'll take care of you in this life. But the goal is, so when you get to heaven, you'll have that's where your investment went to. A life lived today to invest into eternity. Amen? That your treasure you hold is in heaven, because that's where your heart will be. Well, if you ever sat down and talked to Mary and got to know Mary, you'd find out her heart was in the kingdom of heaven more than living on this earth, more than living life on this earth in fullness. I think when I look at Mary, I think of someone, not only was an incredible example of a woman of love, but also an example to me of the body of Christ, someone who was committed to God to be in the body, in the place of the body that God placed her, instead of pursuing a place that would bring her recognition or honor from man. I think that her, and I can talk about many others, but we're talking about Mary today. Her lifestyle, her choice to live her life the way she did, to follow God, showed and proved that the body, the people you see on the pulpit, are usually the least value when it comes to the body of Christ. When you get to know Mary and get to see her and what she did for people, and in the body, and in the overall view of this body, things you'll never know she did, no man will ever know, but God knew. And God placed her there. And see, what a maturity to be able to say, I don't need man to pat me on the back. I don't need man to promote me. I don't need to feel self-worth from people recognizing me. And see, that's a place of maturity and love for the body and a love for God that Mary had that I think all of us need to pursue. Again, when I look at my spirit, there's no sorrow. My spirit man has peace and joy and excitement for Mary, because I know, now I'm not talking about my natural man, all right? My spiritual man. I know that when she entered into heaven, she found out that the life she lived was worth the price that she paid on this earth. And I know very few people I can say that about. And I've talked about many people during memorials and that, but there's an excitement in me because I know when she entered in, just how much of a celebration there was for her when she entered into heaven. And the truth to know, I knew I was right. I knew it, that life lived for God here brings an eternity of reward where most Christians have it backwards. They live their life here for reward and are happy to go to heaven. But when we get to heaven and we get into eternity, because eternity is a long time. Do you understand? We're going to see Mary soon. and all of our loved ones who went on before us. But for us, it may seem like forever, okay? In their eyes, in eternity, it's like a blink. You know, like, I'm here. Oh, good. You're here now, too. Good, you know. And I'm not talking about anyone else going home early. I'm just talking about in our old age, in the next number of years, whatever it is, when you hit 100, 120, depends what kind of faith guy you are, and you may cross that line, do you understand that in heaven, that's a blink of an eye. It's not even a blink of an eye. It's half a blink. And so if you think Mary's missing you, she's not. And, you know, because in a blink, you'll be there with her. Amen. And the good thing about heaven is you live out of your spiritual man. Your natural man falls off of you because you left it. It's so funny when you see someone, and excuse this may be morbid, but when you see someone's body laying there without them in it, it's a whole different creature because they left. It's because they're not there. They're not dead. When you're a Christian and you pass, you're not dead. You're just not there. Amen. You never die. Now, if you're not born again, you're dead already. You left your body, but you didn't die. You already were dead. But when you got born again, you came to life. Amen. So when you leave this earth, you don't die. You just go to a better place. And to see a body without the life in it, she's not there. She left it. So the great thing about heaven and eternity is you live out of your spiritual mind. You don't have the natural mind to confuse you. So do you ever forget your keys? Wonder where you put them? See, Mary now has the ability to remember every moment you talked to her, every second you hugged her, every moment you let her love you or you loved her. She remembers all of that. And you will too. You'll remember all the great things of this life because this natural brain will be no longer in the way. So she won't forget you and will remember every moment of love and compassion and all the good stuff. I don't believe we remember all the bad stuff, just the good stuff. Amen. I want to say this about Mary. You know my story. Most of you, I've been around lots of preachers, a lot of ministries, and it's been both a blessing and a cursing. Sometimes you learn more what you don't like from being around people than what you do like. You learn more what not to do than what to do. And that's part of growing and maturing. But I learned early on that respect for a person doesn't come from their calling. See, you're called. Everyone is called. You didn't get to choose your calling. God put you in the body as He pleased. Okay, so you don't get to choose. We have many people striving to be in positions they're not supposed to be in just because they won't hold on to God is my source of worth. God is my source of value. God is my source of promotion. And they won't hold on to that, so they start to look to man for those things. And because of that, they strive for places they can be seen and positions where they have authority in other people's lives. And so I learned early on that you don't judge a person or give person respect because of their calling, because God's the one who put them there, not themselves. So I'm called to be a pastor type speaker, so I'm in the podium. Doesn't mean that my promotion into this place is the finish. I got a lot of promoting that God has to do for me to get to where He wants me to be. And my promotion into the pulpit is not a bigger promotion than yours into whatever God has for you. Or my position is not more of value than yours. Amen? That every calling is equally important in the body. Anyways, I can tell you a lot of stories, but this is more about Mary today. So I learned early on that you don't respect the person because of their gifting or their calling, because those come from God. You respect a person because it's earned, because of character, because of love. So you learn, as you get around, you learn, who do you respect? You respect character. You respect love. You respect someone who has really given their life to the gospel And when I say the gospel, I mean to the steps that God's given to them. Unmovable. Unmovable no matter what circumstances come, will not change their course. And I say this because don't you dare tell me that Mary failed by going to heaven before her time. Because I will knock you out. We don't judge people's battles. We're here to support them in their battles. We don't judge people's walk. We're here to support them as they follow God. And I will guarantee you that Mary right now has no sorrow about her choices in this life to follow God and to lay it down. Because when you read Luke 12, you find out that you can live a life with very little on this earth as you follow God. I'm not talking poverty. I'm talking about willingness to follow God at all costs. In the face of all things and not change course. Because at your core, if you went to Mary's core, you would find a person who loved God, who loved people, wanted more than anything to fulfill the will of God in her life. So who do we respect? I respect someone who's willing to lay their life down for the gospel. Someone willing to follow God no matter what. I respect someone who shows love and, if you describe Mary, care for others. That's where respect goes. Not in position, not in power, not in revelation, not in anointing, but in love and character. So if I were to put a list of people I respect in my life, Mary's up there in the top. You understand? Be careful when you talk about Mary in front of me. And probably a bunch of others here too. We may have some pitchforks out if you try to pick on our Mary. But make no mistake, she in heaven is celebrating right now and rejoicing, and she's looking at her treasures that she gets to enjoy for the rest of eternity. And you've heard Pastor Dave say this, and many of us say this, that because our callings aren't chosen by us but by God, there'll be people who will go to heaven. I think Pastor Dave had the dream. He went to heaven, he's in the room, and there's a little lady there who's like cleaned the church chairs. And he heard the parade outside of rewards being offered to everyone going to heaven. He thought, oh, here it is. They're about to introduce me. I won half the world to the gospel. And then all of a sudden this little lady comes in. She says, oh, Pastor Dave. She goes, oh, do I know you? Well, I was a member of your church, the big church, the thousands and thousands of people. And, oh, nice to meet you. What are you doing here? I don't know. The angels put me in this room. But Dave said, well, this is the room for recognition in heaven. Yeah, the angels put me in here. Well, what did you do? How many people do you get saved? How much of the world did you touch? Well, I was a member of your church, and I would just clean up and pray over each chair during revival, and that's all God had me do. And Dave thought, angels, you got this lady in the wrong room, But see, in heaven, we'll be surprised who really has earned the treasures and reward in heaven. Amen? I put a little note here of what would Mary tell us right now from heaven? And so I'm guesstimating here, okay? She didn't talk to me, but I can't be 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure this is something she would tell us if she were to send me a note and say, please tell the people of the prayer center this from Mary in heaven. She would say, don't worry about me, I'm fine. That'd be a little note she'd send. Next thing I'm pretty sure she would say is, don't blame God. We've already chatted. That's what she would tell you. See, if you were to... Well, I'll just read on. Number three, she would tell you and I, don't you dare become discouraged. That's what she would tell you. Don't let her battle discourage you to keep pressing in for the harder revival. That's what she would tell you. Because even though we don't blame sickness on God, we know that God does not take people, he receives people. Amen. I can tell you about Mary's life that she built, or God used her to put a big building block on this building of revival that is not going to be moved. It's going to be placed more upon. So her life was not in vain. Where I look at many Christians who live their life, and their lifetime on this earth is in vain. Their lifetime on this earth is about provision, contentment, recognition, self-worth, flesh worth, all those things. Mary, because of her willingness to follow God, allow God to use her life as a building block to something the world has not seen since Jesus came. So we're not going to stop the work or be discouraged. We're going to continue the work. And hopefully we'll be blessed enough for God to put us somewhere in there too, to be a part of building a building called the revival. She would say, it's okay, I brought a hanky somewhere. She would say to us, I hope I made you proud with my fight of faith, because I made God proud. That's what she would say to us. I think we worry too much about this earth time and not enough about the real purpose of God, to bring lives into the kingdom. And he is proud of her. I'm proud of her. I think I understand a little more, not close enough, but a little more because of my battle. What the Lord told me was, because the first thing I thought was great, look at my battle. People are going to think, follow God and go through torture. And I don't want, that was my biggest fear, was I didn't want to bring discouragement to this walk. You know, either because of the attack of the enemy or my missteps or mistakes or whatever you want to call it, however you get to these places. And the Lord said to me, I said, I don't want to get up and preach again. I didn't want to come back to church. So I'll just go to another church somewhere else and they don't know me. Because I didn't want the devil to be able to display me. Like, look what I can do. And the Lord said to me, I want to display you. I want to display how you fight through hard times. And how you don't quit. And see, so that's why when it comes to Mary, don't let discouragement get you. You look into where she did not quit on the Word of God. Did not quit on faith in the Word of God. She never quit. That's where you look, and that's where you get proud of her. Because I want to tell you personally that I would rather go to heaven swinging like crazy, not giving up on miracles and healing or provision or my calling or whatever it is. I will go to heaven swinging the sword of the Spirit, knocking, and when the angels come to get me, they better watch out. They'll get hit by that sword. I'd rather do that than to give up and accept, well, this is just life. This is just the way it goes. How many times have I been with people and the family's begging me, please, just tell them to accept it. You know, you're giving them false hope. Quit telling them. You know, I prayed for a 98-year-old lady a little while ago who I've known for years, wanted to go to heaven, but wouldn't. Her body wouldn't let her. And so she was in a lot of torment and pain. And so I prayed with her. I said, I'm praying you go in peace. And it was like the next day she passed and went on to heaven. That's different. Okay. We don't ever give up on the word or the calling. So if you wanted to describe Mary and her going to heaven, you can just say, she was a fighter that never gave up. Her body gave up before she did. She went to heaven celebrating. So that's a note from Mary, I would say. I hope I made you proud with my fight of faith, because I made God proud. So we should be celebrating her fight and her tenacity and her deep conviction of obedience to God's will over her own life, her own life pleasures. She would tell us, don't you dare give up on revival. Then she would say, I believe she would say to us, don't mourn for too long. It's okay to mourn. That's a normal grieving thing. It's okay. But she would say, don't mourn for too long. Now let's get back to work. That's what she would say to us. Let's get back to work. We got some more building to do. And we will celebrate, I know, in my life, there's a celebration of people who come into your life that you had the pleasure, that you had the pleasure to get to know someone that God trusted you in their life or vice versa. And she's the one that is a treasure that I've known and will celebrate the rest of my life on this earth, that I've been touched by her and got to know her and see a person like that really believe the gospel that I believe. All right, I have a song. This is an old song that I love. And I want to play it because it's, to me, it symbolizes what our life is about. And there's so many people anemic for God's love that they're pursuing their whole life, trying to get God every day to tell them he loves him. And partly because they don't want to deal with areas of their life. They want to keep areas of, they're trying to get God to say, I love you while I live my life. In some ways, while I live in sin, some ways while I live in my brokenness, I don't want to overcome, I want to live there. And so we have many people in the church today trying to live as children and stay as immature children, and just that's their relationship with God, with their pastors, with ministers, is all I want from you is to tell me that you love me and God loves me. Now that is a part of the body. That's the part of the body when they come in, but how many know that God's heart is for us to grow past that and to grow into a place where we can be part of his kingdom, where I don't need you to affirm me every day. That's not my goal in life, is to know that I'm loved. When you know you're loved, you don't need to, you're not starving for it every single moment of every day. So the reason there's a lot of worship songs out there today that are only about God's love for you is because that's the body. It's immature. And they're pulling those songs out of singers and worship teams because just tell me I'm loved. Well, I know we all need to go through that season. But then there comes a season where God says, let's get to work. Let me use your life. I want to take your life and I want to take all that you do in this life and use it for the kingdom. I'll get you back in heaven, you know. I'll get you back, don't worry. You'll be glad you did it. And so this is a song that I've always loved, and it's about laying your life down for the gospel. I listen to it all the time, but I think for the, today it's perfect because it explains, I believe, Mary's heart too.
Lord, make me a vessel of your word and your will. Speak your words through these lips, your own words of life. Let them heal the brokenhearted. Lord, make me a servant. I'll wait on you hand and foot. Draw me close, let me know you. Let me touch your heart. Let me be your prized creation. I am yours. I am yours. when I hear your Spirit calling me, I'll follow. Yes, I'll follow. Baptize me in your love. Take the fire from the altar. Let it touch my lips and consume the darkness around me. I am yours. Been bought with life so precious. I am new, I'm brand new in you, my Jesus. I am yours, Lord, I'm yours. You hold all.
Let's just say that. Say, Father, I'm yours. My life is in your hands. Doesn't belong to me anymore. I'm not going to run for safety, security, provision, happiness. My life is about serving you. Help me to become a person of character. Love. With the life of sacrifice for the gospel's sake. Because when I go to heaven, I'm looking for a big pile of rewards to be waiting for me. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you right now for your love for each of us here as we celebrate our Mary. And her fight of faith and her stand of faith and how proud we are of her. And we're proud, we know you are of her for never giving up on her calling, never giving up on her promises, never giving up on the Word of God. And Father, we thank you as we are continuing to be a part of building this building called Revival. There'll be a day where multitudes will come broken in body, in heart, in spirit, and find the real Jesus through us. In all of his beauty, and that we are part of that. Thank you for allowing us to be part of that. And we give our life to you today, every step, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are released. God bless you.
Well, the first part of the service this evening is going to be a continuation of giving honor to Mary Corbett. It is a tribute. And so I'm going to ask Leah to first share what's in her heart.
I just made a little list of chronological things and things that we knew about Mary, that we as a family knew. Tim met Mary in 1985 after we relocated to Tulsa in 1983. He was doing some consulting for a large ministry in California. And Mary was there. She'd come from Pennsylvania, and she was working in the computer department, and there's probably a more technical name, but we'll leave it at that. She was very good at what she did, and Tim worked there about a year, so he got to know her quite well, and then he was through with his assignment there and came back, and Mary called him one day and said, I think I'm through working for this ministry. I really don't want to work for this ministry anymore. And so she said, do you know anybody that needs someone with my credentials? And he said, do I ever? So he talked with Dave, and he and Dave decided that they could hire Mary. And she came to live in Tulsa about 30 years ago, when she was maybe 33. In 2 weeks, on December 15th, Mary would have had her 63rd birthday. So anyhow, Mary came to Tulsa, and she fit right in, and she not only became part of the Prayer Center family, she became part of our family. She first lived in different apartments, and she really didn't like that very well, and our daughter, our oldest child, Alyssa, had come back from Russia. She'd been in Moscow, and she came back for a period of time and worked with Rick Renner Ministries here, and she bought a little farm in Bixby. And Mary and Lissa and Don Peterson, who worked for the ministry at that time, all lived together on that farm. And they had some horses, some dogs, some cats. Mary loved cats, by the way. And so she lived there for a little while, and then Lissa had to sell her farm. She was called back to Russia. And Mary went to live with Nida, Tim's mother, and she had... Nida had her family. She bought a big house, and so there was room for Mary, and Mary gladly went. She lived there a few years, and then Nida moved on her own to bought a house in Jenks, and she and Mary lived in that house in Jenks, and that's where Mary got her beloved cat, Snowshoes. So Snowshoes is about 15 years old, and she used to be Mary's cat, and Mary bequeathed Snowshoes to Seneca. So Seneca is now the proud parent of Snowshoe. I want to tell you just a few things about Mary from just a normal point of view, from an everyday point of view. Mary loves her Pennsylvania family. That's where she's originally from, is Sharon, Pennsylvania. She was born in a Catholic family, and she became born again at some point, and maybe many of her family members are born again right now. They love the Lord, I know that. Mary would often talk to us about her sisters and brothers and mother and father and her beloved nieces and nephews, and she had many because there were 6 children in the family. And so Mary also was known for her love for chocolate. Mary was famous for making chocolate chip cookies for every occasion, and I think Dave has had more than one batch of them. She also made very moist brownies, and everybody begged for those. She was a sports enthusiast. She really loved sports. As quiet and calm as she was on the surface, she loved to get into football games. And she was from Penn State. That's where she went to college, and she was proud of Penn State. She loved this ministry. She had seen ministry and how people could manipulate and control and intimidate. And she didn't love that. But she loved Dave Roberson. She was here 30 years and saw him under every circumstance. And he was her pastor, and he became her friend. And she became his friend. She also had many friends here, many, many, many. She could speak very forthrightly, but most of her speech was filled with kindness. Mary would do anything for anybody if it would further their life in the Lord. She gave so much that no one will ever be aware of. She gave when she saw a need, she sometimes would help financially. She would give the gift of her time, of her talent, but they would never know what she had done. She would cause things to come to pass with her giftings and with her life. And she never was ruffled or upset. She had the peace of the Lord living in her life at all times. Yes, there are people that she didn't think were operating in the best way, but she loved them. She didn't like the way things were going and would do her best to pray them through it. Mary was on the board of two ministries. The first ministry was our daughter's ministry, Sparrow's Nest, the orphanage in Latvia. Mary loves children. She loves all the children in our family, and they love her. She's watched them grow, and she's nurtured them, little texts, little phone calls, little things. She was is a wonderful aunt to our children. Mary also was on the board of Indian Believers Ministry. Nadine Carter Sunday had that ministry, and she was one of the teachers in our prayer meetings. She was half Cherokee and half Caucasian, and my, could she pray. And we found out 4.5, almost 5 years ago, in February of 2012, that Mary was diagnosed with cancer. And it was a fast-growing cancer. And for almost 5 years, Mary fought against that cancer. This last year, or this last 14 months, Mary's had many, many surgeries. And yet Mary was in the office as often as she could be. She was there praising the Lord. And when you would ask her after she'd had a surgery how she was doing, she said, "I'm okay. God's with me. I'm okay." We took courage from Mary, and we loved Mary. I bless Mary. I bless everything that she has done, for God is the God of multiplication. He multiplies everything we give him. The kind words, the kind deeds, the letters Mary has written for the ministry. No one will ever know what she has put into print for this ministry. But we praise God for who she was and who she is. And we do serve a God that with him nothing is impossible, if only we believe. Thank you. I forgot one thing. Mary was a worshiper all of her born-again life. She took her guitar and she sang and played to the Lord every day of her life. And she worshiped him from her heart. I just wanted you to know that about Mary.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm sure here and where this audio will be heard that there's still some grieving going on, some missing, some with many questions. But the verse that I'm hanging on to is verse 13 and 14 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We know exactly where Mary is. There's just no doubt. We have hope, each one of us sitting here, each one listening. We miss her. The amount of love that each one of us had for her, it was God's kind of love because he put it in our hearts. It's okay to have sorrow, but don't let it linger too long. It was said some time back that if you could, at the end of your life, say that you had two lifelong friends, that you had the best that this world could offer. And Mary was one of those kinds of friends. And I see you shaking your head saying, yep, she was one of those friends. She was one of those friends. If you turn to Revelation 14, and I'll read verse 13. And I heard a voice in heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, that they must rest from their labors, and their works will do follow them. That's Mary. That's Mary. Her works definitely will follow her. It's only a beginning. If you turn to Colossians 3, I'll just read these. Verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I was asked shortly after Mary went home, what was her job title? And when I was asked it, I said, her job title is Mary. I had to think, how could you put a title on someone like Mary? So I actually looked up and said, okay, I'll take a stab at it. And all it was a stab. I'm not even sure I hit the target, incidentally. And so we gave her the title of Operations Director and Executive Assistant. Mary never, in all the years, never considered what she was doing was work. Not one time can I remember she thought she had a job. Her whole life was serving 24/7, 7 days a week. And I see you shaking your head again, because it wasn't work to her. It was serving the Lord. Whatsoever she did in word or deed, she did all unto the Lord. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 and 11 also. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay, but that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Much of her serving, as Leah already said, was foundational. Laying a foundation, you could say laying a foundation for revival. You could say laying a foundation for the message that's come to maturity that will touch the world, you know, as the water covers the sea. You see this book? See this book? Hopefully you've all read it. This book would not be here if it wasn't for Mary. I'm not saying that someone else could not have done it, okay, and it would eventually been published. But this is one of her foundations. How many times have you heard Dave raise a yellow pad and say, "Oh no, the dreaded yellow pad"? Mary had a way of using her authority when it was given to her that you never had to be concerned whether she did not use that authority to the full extent. She took the dreaded yellow pad and turned it into a document or a letter that each one of you got to read. Dave and I both are not the greatest spellers in the world. And she would take the dreaded yellow pad and turn it into the document. She seen needs, and she took on the responsibility of the needs as not a need, but as an opportunity to bring the Father's will from heaven to the earth in everything that she did. I was told today that Mary was the master brownie maker. And I can remember someone was either in the office or it could have been wherever, and they were eating brownies, her brownies, and they said that they liked the corner pieces, you know, the edge. The next time Mary made brownies, at least that I'm aware of, she had went out and bought a pan that had every piece that you cut had edges on it. It was shaped somehow like this. Okay. In our home, we have one individual that is a vegetarian. And when she was invited to dinner, whether it was Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving or whatever, and when she found out about it, without being asked, without being told, she made a sweet potato casserole. She brought two dishes. One was vegetarian for that individual, and everybody else got to eat the rest. But that was Mary. That was Mary. And in your life, the same things happened. It wasn't ever a task. It was only serving the Lord. Whatsoever she did in word or deed, she did unto the Lord. Last but not least, her whole life was 2 Corinthians 1:24. She was a helper of your joy. Everything she did, everything she enjoyed doing, she did it with joy. And she became your helper. Can I hear an amen? I see Nathan sitting over there. And when he had the service last Wednesday night, he come and sat down and asked me a couple questions, or I guess we were talking. And Nathan said, "You know what? You know what? Last week, Mary was here in the booth. Okay. And I got to take Mila, my daughter, up and let Mary hold her. That's the place that Mary had in our hearts. Say amen. Okay.
This has been a difficult season in a way, and a difficult week. And for those of you that may not have heard, we lost our beloved Mary Corbett this week, but heaven gained. They already had her, but now her presence is there. But Mary Corbett went home to be with the Lord this week. Tell you a little bit about Mary. Sue and I have been here 24 years, and Mary was here before we got here. And I know that Mary, if I was going to try and come up with a biblical phrase for Mary, it would be the handmaiden of the Lord. I mean, she gave her whole life to God. But it's rare to find somebody who will give their whole life to God. Mary did. As far as I can tell, I mean, she never got married. Mary's a good-looking girl. I mean, she could have got married if she wanted to, you know. She was attractive, smart. I think her IQ was higher than mine. That's not saying a whole lot, but I think it's higher than yours. So, a woman had a head on her shoulders now. But Mary, she never got married, never had children. As far as I know, she didn't own a house. She gave her whole life to God. It's not wrong to get married and have children and have a house. But we're talking about Mary. And she gave her whole life to God. And I was, go ahead and open up to Galatians 5 just for a moment. There's so many things. I mean, we could take hours. I don't know what her official title, and it probably evolved over the years. Secretary is not nearly enough to describe Mary Corbett. Director, Empress, I don't know. I mean, she would never take a title like that, but trying to describe, servant is really the title. Servant to all. And, you know, Sue and I, so many times, I mean, I wish now I had badgered her more than we did. We're trying to get her to just go to lunch with us or just spend a little time, you know. And I couldn't have said this then. She'd get upset with me, but this is the truth. So many times we'd say, hey, Mary, you want to go to lunch? Well, she kind of did that little dance, you know, and like, well, she was, you know, had a project going or something that was very important, and she just didn't want to. Mary was focused on the kingdom of God. But she loved people. She loved people. And that's why I wanted you to open up to Galatians 5, because I was trying to how do you describe Mary Corbett? Well, Galatians 5, verse 22, starting in verse 22. I can't think of another passage to better describe Mary Corbett than this one. Mary was just love. I never saw her say an unkind word, react in an unkind or unloving way to anybody, and people that really deserve some unkindness. that was Gary, I'm sorry. Mary was always love. Joy. Peace. If I needed more peace, I wanted to hang around Mary. Long suffering. Gentle. Are these good words to describe Mary Corbett?
Yes.
Good. She was good. She was good to the core. Faith and faithfulness together. Meekness. So many people, they hardly know who she was because you never saw her. She would normally watch the service from up there. And in the early days, there's still one of these reserved seats for Mary here. But you didn't see her down here very often. She would normally be upstairs and watch the service from there. Meekness. Temperance. It's Mary Corbett. Whenever I would, when on the occasions, we use computers, of course, in Gary Carpenter Ministries, and there's a certain software that's very temperamental. It's good software, but it's old and it's temperamental. And we went through a spell where we were just having lots of trouble with that software trying to use it. And the person that had been helping us was going through a problem, and I couldn't get a hold of the guy for like months. But guess who you call? Call Mary. Sometimes you call Mary 3, 4, 5 times in one afternoon because it's still giving you problems. And never once did Mary go, "All right, that's it. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, quit bothering me," you know. That is not Mary Corbett. Not once, not ever. On those occasions where I would need something, you know, something done in connection with Dave Roberson Ministries, Mary, I started to say it like, I'm going to go ahead and say it like this. I would ask her to do something and she wouldn't do it. And what I mean by that is she would do far more than I asked her to do. She would never just settle for doing what I asked her. She would do exceedingly abundantly above. That's why her IQ, her thinking was way higher than mine. She would think of things I needed before I knew I needed it. And the thing she would give me would be so complete. It would be complete. I'm asking for something to help me, and by the time she gave it to me, it'd take me 3 more months to study all that out. One thing I'm really going to miss, it's almost Christmas time, and nearly every Christmas, Mary would make us her batch of salsa. Oh yeah, wow! If you've ever had it, it's not exactly Mexican, and it's not really sweet. It's kind of a sweet hot. Okay, and there's some of you that don't know. She has fought this battle in her body for several years. This is not a sudden thing. And Mary's a fighter. So, you better stay out of my way. You know, you start talking about Mary losing. Well, I'm going to see you fight. You have no idea what she went through. Seneca, I don't know if Seneca's in the house. God bless you, Seneca. There she is. Tell you, if I'm ever in a fight, I want Seneca in my corner. These battles are not easy in the flesh. I'm telling you, they're tough. Really tough. It's hard on your body, then it's hard on your emotions. It's hard on every part of you. Not only the one suffering, but the one who's helping. And still, I got to see Mary within a week or so of her passing. Maybe a week and a half. And still, gentle. Love God. Love you. Still had that sparkle in her eye. Just, I tell you, there's some people that, you know, heaven received her with a reward that only, we can't even imagine the reward that she went home with. But I'm just telling you, there's some people, when they pass, when they leave this earth, the earth is diminished. Mary Corbett was one. But I like what Alan said. He said, where she is now, there is no time. And her, from where she is, she'll see in a blink of an eye. It won't just be like a blink. And we'll be there with her. It's us that misses her on this side. I love it. Alan says, and regardless of what she thinks, she doesn't miss you. In her mind, you'll be there in a blink of an eye. See, you know. And that's really good. That's really good. Mary Corbett loved God and loved people probably as much as any person I have ever been privileged to know. Hero. Now, Alan, he kind of did this thing like if Mary could send us a note from heaven. She would say things like, "I'm okay. I'm okay. Don't be discouraged. And don't you dare quit." don't you dare quit. Mary fought a fight. Seneca fought it with her, and so did others here that I'm not going to name. But she went home too early. Now see, I'm just going to talk about my point of view, not yours. I'm going to talk about me now. Because I think if Mary could send me a note, because of my calling in the body as a teacher, she would say, preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Don't you dare water it down. Don't you dare compromise it. You preach the word, and preach it straight and true. And to honor her, and to honor our Lord. That is exactly what I'm going to do. I am tired of losing. I am tired of losing our loved ones to cancer or any other damnable disease. Diabetes. I don't care. And I know and you know that if Jesus would have walked into her room, Mary Corbett would have come off of that bed and she would be right here. Now that is the mission of the prayer center. To press into revival to where Jesus gets to manifest himself to that level. And that's why Mary would say, don't you dare quit. Don't you dare be discouraged. Don't you dare water down the word. You preach the word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God, we thank you for the privilege of knowing Mary Corbett. Father, we thank you that you received her into heaven with a full of reward. Oh, and heaven's gain is our loss on this side. But Father, we'll see Mary again. From her point of view, it'll be a blink of an eye. Father, for her family, I know she had, I think her mother's still alive, and I met one of her brothers. Father, for her, I don't know how many there are, for her family, Lord, minister comfort and peace. Minister your love to them, Lord. Father, if this is possible, let them know how much we appreciate a family producing a Mary Corbett on the earth. Father, we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.